I want to welcome everyone tonight, and it's beautiful springtime, and Bill has chosen for his topic tonight, and I don't know what he's going to say about this, being in relationship is a puzzlement, and with that, I'm going to hand it over to Bill.
That sounded like a question mark at the end of that.
Well,
no, the title for this talk is Being in Relationship is a Puzzlement. And you know where that line came from. I'll tell you in a minute. But, you know, back to Adrian's request for jokes, I was thinking of starting by saying that this whole thing is going to be an expose of my relationship with Donna. You know, the parts about Donna will be very interesting. The parts about me you'll probably fall asleep on. But anyway, is a relationship. You remember, I think, seeing either that play or movie entitled The King and I, or I think it used to be called The King of Siam. And, you know, because most of you are much, much older than I am, and so that came out long before my birth. Anyway, in that play or movie, as the King of Siam, or I think modern-day Thailand, was falling more and more in love with the British woman who was tutoring his royal children, and as he was becoming quite confused about his deepening feelings for her, he could only proclaim the words, "is a puzzlement." And so, hence, being in relationship is a puzzlement.
Oh.
Well, there you go. I know it's, you know, sometimes you have to stretch. You just have to reach for those hidden meanings. And I thought I would just help everybody out. Well, I thought those same words might be a fitting introduction to today's focus, which is relationships, or being in relationships. Ready? Is a puzzlement. So relationships, of course, are quite an interesting and compelling, I think even powerful aspect of being human. And when we really look at relationships in some detail, you know what we find? They're everywhere. Yes, everywhere around you. In fact, we can't even turn around without being in relationship. For example, as soon as you wake up in the morning, chances are you're in relationship with your screaming alarm clock. And then, instants later, with your silent but willing slippers, as you struggle to get them onto your groggy toes and your unsteady feet. And then, a little later, you're in relationship with the fuzzy, waiting-to-be-discovered space around you, as you attempt to navigate sleepily and perhaps unsteadily through that strange feeling space to move into the bathroom. I know, I'm not going to get into the too much information thing here. Then you enter into an intimate relationship with the shower, with your clothes, with your makeup, and with all your other early morning chores. And, of course, all these relationships happen before you even begin your official day, when you become more focusedly engaged in a close relationship with your daily schedule, which might include 3 meals that you're in relationship with, 5 meetings, 8 conversations with close acquaintances, let's say 19 tasks calling for your attention, 36 connections with the day's world events, and perhaps 89 decisions about some of the practical aspects of your life. Ooh, that's a lot of relationship. And I'm not even talking about your relationship with every breath of air that passes to and from your bodily cells, or your intimate bond with every beat of your heart that pulses life force through your veins, which in turn keeps you in relationship with your very aliveness and with the aliveness of life itself. Yes, I would say all in all, we are in relationship. Involved, intimate, focused, committed relationships every minute, every day of our lives. In fact, as I was putting this talk together and thinking about all these relationships, I just got exhausted, thinking, oh my gosh, every second of life is, from one perspective, a relationship. And even when we're not relating to the busy world around us, we're relating to ourselves. For example, we're actively engaged with our thoughts. Now that's a relationship. And with our feelings and with our bodily activities and expressions and functions. And we're in relationship even with our own inner silence or centeredness or with our personal processes or with our personal well-being. Whew! How to sort it out, how to deal with all these relationships. And all I can say, and you may want to say it with me if you'd like, is a puzzlement. I don't know about you, I'm just having the best time. So when we think of relationships, of course, we think first and foremost about an intimate relationship with another human being, what we often call a primary relationship or a loving bond with a significant other person. And while these important and intimate relationships certainly absorb our focus, and while they rank at the very top of our list of important connections in our lives, and rightly so, our emphasis on them can in some ways take our attention away from the fact that we're always in relationship everywhere. You know, back in the days when I did a lot of marriage counseling and relationship therapy, I noticed what I bit by bit started thinking of as a trend or as a pattern. And it's this, that a person who was or is having a hard time in a significant relationship with a partner was often also having a hard time in other relationships. For example, in relationships with that pesky alarm clock and those uncooperative slippers in the morning. Or, I'm assuming they're uncooperative. That's probably a value judgment. I would have to ask the slippers, and I'll do that after this talk. Or with the unfulfilling aspects of his or her daily schedule. Or even with other friends who, perhaps just like the person's partner, just don't understand or get the person. So in these situations, often a person's relationship even with money isn't working either, or their connectedness with their own body or health declines. Well, my homespun philosophical conclusion, which, by the way, has the same, let's call it, level of validity as everyone else's pet theories, that is, almost none, was, except, you know, it's mine, so what the heck, was this. Gee, when one relationship isn't going well, chances are that many other relationships happen to be sharing the same plight. Or, to put it more simply, maybe it's our relationship with everything that needs our attention, not just our one obvious difficult relationship. So, if it feels right to you, let's look at your relationships. And join me if you will. And if you don't feel called to it, there's no need to go there. But if you feel like it, join me in asking yourself, what kind of relationship with life or with any and all aspects of life you have? So I'm just going to ask several questions. And, you know, this whole talk in one sense every month is just a big fat excuse for you to have some background noise and set aside an hour just so your own precious truth can speak to you from within, or just so your own soul can eloquently touch you in some deep inner way. And so these words are just in service of that. So be with these questions in whatever way you'd like. But my request is that you just watch what answers rise from the depth of your own inner knowing in response to the questions. In other words, please don't try to answer these questions. Simply allow the questions to arise organically on their own. Okay, I'm ready if you're ready. Here are the questions. What is your relationship with the air that you're breathing right now? The prana or chi or life force that's moving through your air passages, through your lungs, through your bloodstreams, through your body. The purifying, cleansing, life-giving quality of life that we call air. What is the nature of your relationship with that right now? And then I want to come at that from just a slightly other direction. What's the nature of your relationship with that life force, maybe with a capital L and a capital F, life force that's breathing you right now. As you perceive that the air is in charge of you, that you're, in effect, the lungs that the air is breathing. As you view yourself as being breathed and expressed more than breathing, that is, as you're not in control, but as you feel yourself to be the breath of life, moving and pulsing, as life itself breathes itself into expression through you, what's your relationship right now with that life, that air? The third question I'd like to ask is this. As you awake in the morning, what's your relationship with, and I apologize for this, that alarm clock, that otherwise silent companion that waits almost 24 hours every day to be called into service, to be called to duty, that modern-day rooster's proclamation that, sure enough, a new day has arrived. Try that again. Arrived, or arisen, or another word of your making. Do you perceive that alarm clock as a valuable extension of your own person, simply and lovingly doing your bidding, being an external extension of yourself by reminding you of your earlier decisive choice to arise at a given time? Or is it perhaps your tendency to perceive it as a harsh taskmaster or an unfeeling control freak? I love that. Or a symbol of a heartless god who simply wants you to suffer by having your treasured sleep disturbed forever. Yes, I'm having a wonderful time. Fourth question. What is your relationship like today with money? In your intimate bond with money, or this monetary facet of life that's taken on strong symbolic importance in our culture, and that's a part of almost every action and interaction that we have, do you feel like an intimate partner with money, co-creating with money, your life loved and respected by money? Conversely, do you respect and honor money? Or when you spend it, what attitude do you feel welling up inside you as you watch that money go out from you? Or when your funds are low, what feelings about money emerge in your thinking, like right now? What's your relationship with money? My fifth question is, what's your relationship with your body? Do you love it in as-is condition, respect it in its decisions to express itself in certain ways, perhaps with certain symptoms? Do you talk to it or feel about it in endearing terms, or do you take it for granted or see it as a needed and hopefully dependable workhorse, or do you let yourself notice even at all what way you feel about it? Do you notice how much your body, or in what ways your body loves you every day? What is your relationship with your body? And I'd like to end these questions with just a few other questions, short ones, with no additions, no interpretations. You ready? What's your relationship with the divine? What's your relationship with the significant other or others in your life? What's your relationship with taxes? Or your relationship with world events? How do you feel about what's going on in the world? And do you love it, accept it, decry it, blame it, etc.? What's your relationship with this very planet on which we live, this Earth? And what's your relationship, finally, with this very moment, right here, right now? Whew, relationship and relationships. What a powerful, powerful facet of life. All I can say, and again, feel free to say it with me, is a puzzlement. So ultimately, of course, the reason that everything in our lives is about relationship is, I think, because underneath it all, and this is one of those higher spiritual truths that we all know, we all are one. The illusion of individuality, compelling as it is, leads us to believe that we're separate entities, distinct individuals. But the real truth, as we all know it in our hearts, is that each one of us is a phantasm of the all that we essentially are. We're a seemingly distinct, individuated, separate being, but in fact, you and I and all of us and this earth and everything that we're in relationship with are already a united whole. So we reach out to others, other people, animals, nature, events, and in fact everything, because we feel and we are incomplete without them. We reach out to them and bond with them and unite with them and are in intimate relationship with them as an ongoing reminder and activator of the truth that we are one. We're instinctively related to every morsel of air. We're intuitively connected with every event on the planet and throughout the whole universe, mainly because, perhaps solely because, in the biggest possible version of truth, we are them and they are us. And somehow in the bond, in the connection, in the unity, in the intimate relationship, that truth that lives in us, that knows that, comes into its fullness and says, now I'm whole. So, look again, if you feel like it, at your most significant human relationship and ask yourself if your relationship with that person mirrors or reflects or is an expression of your relationship with all life. For example, if you tend to take that person for granted, could it also be the case that you take life for granted, or your body for granted, or your health for granted, or your other friendships for granted? As another example, if you're having a hard time finding true love in your heart for that person, in other words, if you reach in there and you get facets of love, but it's not the deep, real love, could it be that you might also lack that quality, true, real, deeply felt love in your relationship with maybe not everything else, but so many other things here on earth, and maybe in relation to the earth herself? And finally, if you're feeling judged by that significant other or tend to feel rejected or hurt or abused by that partner, are you perhaps feeling those same feelings in relation to, well, God, for example, feeling judged or rejected by God, or by the strong energies of this planet, or by yourself, or by that, I apologize for this, seemingly maligned alarm clock by your bedside? And feel free to say this with me if you care to, is a puzzlement. So, let's look at some ways to be in just the kind of relationship that befits you. And with that, I'd like to start with a central and I think all-important question. In your created nature, that is in the perfect design that is you, you're one of a kind, what kind of relationship with every aspect of life are you called to? Let me maybe try to rephrase that. You're created, and I'm created, to be a certain kind of presence here on earth. As that presence, it's built into your nature, it's built into my nature, to be in relationship with everything here, yourself, life as it unfolds around you, everything in a unique and special way. My question, what is that unique and special way? I'd like, if it's okay with you, to give a brief example of my own life. I hope it's brief anyway. So I think I started out my life being in a scared relationship with everything. Life's strong energies left me feeling quite overpowered, so my relationships were pretty much based on fear. But that didn't feel good or right. It certainly didn't feel safe or comfortable. So I started looking for what kind of relationship fit me and my nature better. And in my 20s, I found my first big answer. It was in the form of love. And I discovered love living in my heart in places I never knew, and wanting to be the new center of my life and of my relationships. So I decided to let love guide my relationships. I allowed love to be the eyes through which I looked at everything within me and around me, and I allowed love to influence my reactions, my decisions, and frankly, I let love just become me more and more, and me become love. Thus, my relationships became all about love. Then, later, I think it was much later, I found that oneness literally took me over. I found myself knowing that I was as much you as I am me, and vice versa. And I could begin to see you through the all-knowing eyes of your own soul, just because I felt one with you. And I could relate to you as you might want yourself to relate to you, based in the truth and the beauty of who you are. And so at that point, my relationships were all about oneness. Then, as I later began to drift into what I guess I came to call the essence of life, I discovered inner peace. And my relationship with life started to take on the quality of that essential peacefulness. And my relationships were all about being in a state of peace. So I met people and situations at the place where they were at or are at peace. And finally, I discovered the F word, fun. And I realized that there's a place inside me and all of us where we're literally having fun, even in the midst of what externally may or could look like disaster or misfortune. So I started staying attuned to that place in myself and everyone else, and my relationships started to be about having fun. So if I briefly add up all the above examples, I could and would say that my nature, my created nature, calls me to have relationships with everything, you, other human beings, nature, planet Earth, world events, etc., with everything centered around the experience of love, oneness, peace, and fun. So those natures have pretty well become the hallmark of my relationship with, you knew this was coming, the alarm clock. Aren't you tired of that example yet? With the daily schedule, with the decisions that invite themselves to be made within my consciousness, and with the many human beings in my life. And hopefully that includes you. And by hopefully, I mean hopefully that's your experience of our relationship, that it's about those beautiful, beautiful qualities of love, oneness, peace, and fun. But a point I'd like to make, in fact, to emphasize, is that this example only expresses my style of being in a relationship, and I'm not at all implying that it's your style. In fact, the exact opposite, or at least something quite different, may be characteristic of you and your style of being in relationship with everything. For example, you might be naturally oriented to a strong sexual or sexually based intimacy, not only with human beings, but with nature itself and life. Or, in contrast, your style of bondedness may be very mystically based or so spiritually driven that very little, for example, emotion or sensuality may show its face. Or again, your personal style of relationship just might center around a deeply emotion-based phenomenon wherein you feel everything that's going on, and that feeling is an intimate part of your style of connectedness. Or your natural style of being in relationship may be something else that I've not even hinted at in these examples. The important point, I think, is that your very created nature calls you to be in relationship in just a special way, a way that fits you and maybe fits only you, a way that's just right for you, that expresses you, that celebrates life, that lives fully in the moment, in just the most perfect way. So the question is, what to be in relationship here on this cute little planet? So I'd like to repeat my first request from the first part of this talk, and it's this. Just allow the response to this question to come to you. Rather than like reaching within your consciousness for the answer or the answers, allow those answers to find you, to translate themselves to you, either now or through the days to come. And I'm sure they'll do exactly that. Now, I'd like to make another point. I'm just making points up the wazoo, and you are being so kind to me. Thank you. And this point may feel a little strange at first, so I'd like you to, here's the deal. It's an invitation to not come out of this talk with a behaviorally oriented conclusion. For example, what I'm advocating is that you not say to yourself something like, okay, from now on, I'm going to be loving and kind to every person I meet. I like that tone. Wasn't that sweet? And I'm also advocating that you not say to yourself something like, now I get it. I need to be working on being at peace in relation to everything in my life. So why, you ask, am I suggesting bypassing these tried and true behavioral approaches? I know. Maybe you're saying to yourself, now Bill has finally lost it. Poor guy, he's not even endorsing those historically sacred, ethically full, morally appropriate, values-driven, Ten Commandment-based, Golden Rule-inspired approaches to human living. It's so cool. What's wrong with him, you're asking? Well, before you get out the good old tried and true tarred and feathers, let me explain. In fact, I see one of you reaching into that bucket right now for that that feather. The tar smell is really not very becoming, but we don't need to go into that. So here's the deal. Let me explain. There's nothing at all wrong. This is like the Jerry Seinfeld thing. There's nothing wrong with that, of course. There's nothing wrong with these approaches. It's just that most of the time, their effectiveness is quite short-lived. And in fact, our modern research, as we all know, about weight loss plans or decisions to undo self-sabotaging habits, pretty much show that most of the time they work in the short term, but they don't tend to stay alive strongly in the long term. So in place of making these otherwise tempting decisions, I'd like to suggest another approach, and it's very subtle. You ready for it? Oh, good, because so am I, and if you weren't, I wouldn't know what else to say. So here it is. Instead of taking that decision-based or behavioral stance in relation to the question, how to be in relationships, here's my suggestion. Just let yourself be in relationship to it. Yep, that's right, you heard me. Let's not do anything. Let's just be open to a close and intimate relationship with your style of relationship. For example, ask yourself the question, what is my natural style of being in relationship? And then just stay in the question without looking for the answer. After all, isn't relationship more about the adventure of the relationship than about the answer? Or, as you know, more about the path than the destination, more about the journey than the conclusion? So, same with your style of being in relationship. If I simply stay in the question and open myself to the adventure and let my natural way of being and staying connected to the question lead the way, and if I open myself to being even molded and guided and rearranged personally by the process, then for sure I'll soon get very clear about how I'm here to experience and be in relationship with any and every facet of life. And best of all, in that process, and simply by staying in deep connection with the process, I discover and witness that my natural style of relationship shows up automatically. It comes to me. And my mind slowly catches up with my deeper knowing. Now, I'm going to start wending my way toward a conclusion. And I'd like to invite you and me and all of us to, if you will, a shared experience. So join with me again, if it feels right, as you invite yourself to a relationship. if it feels right to you, let yourself picture before your inner eye or sense in your deep personal center some aspect of life that you are in relationship with. And you just pick whatever that is, whatever you want to pick. It could be a person, perhaps the significant other in your life, or a person maybe with whom you've in the past had an incomplete experience, or a person who exists, at least so far, maybe only in your inner experience and not out there, or someone with whom you might have or have had a conflict, or a person who simply in this moment appears in your innermost consciousness and asks you to consider that person for this experience. Or you might want to bring into your awareness and experience not a human being, but another facet of life. For example, nature, if you have or maybe want to have a special relationship with nature, or a particular world event that maybe you are not very proud of the relationship you have with it, or an aspect of life that you just really might want something further with. Also, you might want to consider a relationship with a facet or a part of yourself, your body, or a particular symptom, or your health, or your mind, or your personal creativity, or a special gift that you have, or your sense of purpose or mission, or you get the idea, and you can take it over from here, whatever comes to you. And picture that aspect of life before you right now, perhaps looking at you in its own way, or his or her own way, perhaps even inviting in this moment a shift in your relationship with it. So let it come to you or motion to you or take the lead or perhaps talk to you. If it's doing nothing but just looking at you, just being, then let that continue to happen, knowing that it will shift or change at the perfect time. And if you can manage it, just don't do anything. Don't try to take charge of the situation. Just be with it and let it unfold as it will. Watch it or feel it or sense it, whatever is your style. Continuing to allow yourself simply to be in relationship, to be open, to be receptive, to listen with your inner intuitive ears, to let happen whatever happens. And now, if it feels right, let yourself let go even further. Let go, perhaps, of your sense of separation in relation to that other presence. Let yourself merge into it, or him or her, and notice how the two of you fairly easily, fairly quickly, are becoming one. What is that like? What does it feel like to you? Notice how you and that presence are now one. You inside it or him or her, and that presence inside you. What's happening? What's the conversation or the non-conversation like? What's it like simply to be in relationship without looking for anything to happen? Just hanging out in the undefinedness and the mystery of the relationship. Simply being in relationship. Finally, as you prepare to let go of this experience so we can move on, notice how it feels to start to say goodbye. How you feel about this presence or aspect of life now, what the nature of your relationship now is compared to previously or just 5 minutes ago, and if that facet of life wants to come with you, that's fine too. Well, I'd like to conclude this talk, or perhaps more appropriately, this experience with an ending invitation. And if you're ready, I am. Here it is. By the way, I think somewhere down in this, I'm going to do this alarm clock thing again. I just wanted to warn you. So here's the invitation. First, you and I are in relationship with everything, literally everything that exists or that ever has existed or that ever could exist. You and I are not only in relationship with everything, but we live in an ongoing daily interaction with everything. It's an interactive, interconnected, interwoven, interdependent relationship that we have with everything. Number two, in this relationship and interaction, you play a special role, a role that only you play the way you do. You complete everything else here, just as it completes you. And so your boss lacks something without you. Your best friend is somehow more complete because of you. Everyone connected to this call in this moment is more alive and rich, and that includes me, because you're here in deep relationship with us. You complete us, we complete you. Third, in your relationship with everything, you're alive. Because you're connected with everything, you're infinite. Because of your bondedness and oneness with everything, including me and us, you're empowered, you're dynamic, you're alive with life, and yes, you're absolutely divine. And four, finally, in your relatedness, and with the ways you embrace that relatedness, you are me, and you are the breath of air, and you are the realms of possibility, and you are the miracle of grace, and you are the flow of life. And yes, really, 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 yes, you are, and I'll say this without even apologizing, you are the alarm clock by your bedside. Yes, you're it all. And so my invitation to us is this. Perhaps our invitation to each other is this. Perhaps from the depth of your being, your invitation to yourself is this. Let's all be in relationship. And let's all recognize that every moment is relationship and is intimacy and is bondedness and is oneness and is all the miracles and possibilities that are waiting to jump into aliveness in and through that moment of relatedness. Let's embrace our relationship with anything and everything, and by swimming willingly in the waters of that moment's bond, by dancing with the stars that shine in and through that moment of oneness, by embracing fully the life that is joining with us in that space, we become something new because of the relationship. We expand far beyond our prior limits by receiving the gifts of that bondedness. And we open ourselves to the many gifts that we have no idea are waiting for us simply because we are consciously, willingly, clearly, powerfully, creatively, and wondrously in relationship. Thank you very, very, very much. At this point, I would love to turn this over to us and create the next several moments just as a time of sharing. And even though this is not a time of asking questions, in other words, I'm not here to provide any answers to anything, we're really here to let you add to us. Yes, your presence adds to us. Your relationship adds to us. And this is a chance just to have your words add to us so that if there's any of you who feel like expressing anything, then please do that at this time. There's no need for all of you to do anything with your phones about the mute or unmute thing, but if you do want to say something, then if you'll just press *6 on your phone, then say what you'd like to say, and then when you're finished, just press *6 again. That will remute your phone. That would be great. So what I'd like to do is ask anybody who'd like to share anything. It could be your own thought, anything from your experience, a personal something you'd like to share, anything you read lately that you feel, anything you feel would add to us. Feel free to do that. If you would unmute your phone, say, tell us who you are, where you're from, and then just say what you'd like. We would love that. So is there somebody who'd like to? I've rarely heard such an uproar of noise since the last time I was in a riot. Anyway, Let me try again. Is there anybody who would like to express anything? If so, just unmute your phone, *6, and then just let us know.
Hello?
Yes.
Bill, this is Rocio from Kerrville, Texas.
Oh, well, Kerrville, Texas. How wonderful.
I was in a workshop with you a few years ago that you were here in Austin.
I do remember you. Thank you.
I am in awe of being part of this moment with you of relationship, and I'm just very happy because I'm feeling this connectedness, and I appreciate you very much.
Oh, thank you. You are so sweet and so kind, and it is so wonderful to connect with you again. Thank you, and thank you for that beautiful sharing.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes. And is there somebody else who'd like to express something?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Tanya Schneider, and I'm from New York, and I just learned about you yesterday.
I'm delighted to meet you. Thank you.
But it was so beautiful. It felt to me like a poem when you were talking. It felt like I was listening to a poem. I even put some phrases. It came just to me as a poem that I wanted to, put on the paper. And I was just feeling before this conversation about the universal field we supply with our auras when we merge them. And that so perfectly just sounded from your voice. So that was very, very beautiful. Thank you.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you so much. That is, again, really kind of you. I feel like when we do get together, it is the universal field, and it's sort of the universal voice that just finds its own echo chamber, and we go to live in that echo chamber for a little bit and just let ourselves get renewed by the beauty of it all. So thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Yes, exactly. That's how I felt that. This field was just embracing when you were talking. So, yes, thank you very much again.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much, and it's just delightful to meet you. Good. Anybody else want to share something?
Hey, Bill?
Yes.
This is Dr. David Doner in Santa Barbara, California.
Hello, David. How delightful to hear from you.
Oh, thank you, and thank you so much for the lovely presentation. I feel in relationship to you, and I appreciate the wonderful work we did, and it reminded me of the bond that was created and continues to be present, and so I appreciate all the wonderful work that you do.
Oh, sweet, David. Thank you so much. It's not just been such a pleasure, but it's such a beautiful brother bond that we have. The really neat thing, a number of you have heard me use this example, but in quantum physics, there's a finding that's probably 25 years old now that basically says when any two atoms have been joined together, that even if they're separated out and one atom is like a million miles or a trillion miles away, in a quantum way, that is, in a way that doesn't have to travel through time and space, but it just is. Anything that happens with that one atom, the equivalent of it happens with the other atom, no matter how far away it is. And I feel deeply that way because each of us is, and David, you and I are, but each of us is so soulfully connected and bonded. And that once we meet, even in this particular moment, if we would never see each other again, there's a way in which and this is about relationship, I think. It's what happens in relationship, that every time I expand or every time I make a quantum leap or every time I experience a space of inner peace or every time I just am in total oneness with all life, somehow the resonance of that lives in you, and so we're always blessing each other and honoring each other and giving to each other in ways that most of us are not at all aware of. So, David, thank you for your words and for triggering that particular comment, too. And is there somebody else who'd like to say something? Okay, I'll do the old tricky going once, going twice thing, and then if there's nobody, we'll make a shift. And if there is somebody, you know, we would just be delighted to hear from you. So it's the going once thing. If there's anybody who'd like to say anything, this would be your next to last chance.
Jill, this is Terrell.
Oh, Terrell, hello, and thank you for rescuing us. That was so sweet of you.
I'm coming in at the next to the last chance. Bill, I had a really curious and fun experience when you were first speaking about the breath and how does it feel when your breath is coming, when I am breathing, and I noticed just what came up unpredictably, which was so cute. It was the word that was strongly begrudging, and I thought, how interesting. I watched that. What does that mean for me, begrudging? And then when you said, and how does it feel when breath breathes you?
Mm-hmm.
And all of that begrudgment just melted. It just disappeared instantly. And I just became so much more, with such a relief, not have that responsibility anymore. And I felt so much more expanded and free and so much more in relationship, as you were saying, with everything else. And it happened instantaneously. Really a
that
fun
is,
experience. Thank you.
Yes, that is so cool, Terrell. That's
Thanks.
Great. Thank you. And I really appreciate you sharing that, too. That's wonderful. Yeah. And anybody else who'd like to share anything? And we'll give it the last call routine right now. So this is the last chance we have. Okay, so Terrell, you were not just next to last, you were last also. What a deal, cross the finish line. So I want to thank each and every one of you for the sharing, those who shared verbally. I'd like also to thank those of you who, even though you didn't share verbally, were strongly, strongly sharing. I'm very aware during this sharing time of the deep level bond and connectedness and relationship that we're all in, and how we're all just frankly feeding each other in ways that are very, very, very powerful. So with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute all of us again. And I'm going to lead us, if it feels good to you, in a meditation. And seems like there was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember what it is. Anyway, we have several moments left, and I would like to invite you just to be, and especially to be aware of your relationship. And while I'm talking, feel free to tune into my words, or feel free to absolutely ignore them. And my suggestion is this, that just over the next several moments, you notice and follow what you are in relation to. Like, for example, in 1 second, you could be in relationship to a thought. In another second, there could be a certain muscle twitching in your body that captures your attention, and you go to be in relationship to that. And in a third instance, you might hear a word from me that might trigger either an old memory or perhaps it might trigger your own soul's inspired message or inspired connection, and then you might be in relationship with that. And then in the next 2 or 3 seconds, from that space of inspired message from your soul, your mind might start taking over and picturing something in the future that might be something you would be called to or be a part of your life. And what I'm suggesting that we do is, and my words hopefully will support this, but please don't let my words get in the way, is to just notice and really, really be with whatever that connection, that relationship, that bond, that something that you're united with is in that moment, with total permission to both be in it and let it move on, let it create itself in another way, let it place something else on the plate that's before your heart or before your eyes or before your mind or before your attention at that particular moment. And the reason I'm inviting this is just so that each and every one of us with this bit of practice, even if you will, can learn not just, and this is not what I'm talking about, not just some Buddhist practice of witnessing, but can practice how to be fully, completely, powerfully present in relationship and equally open to whatever's next without controlling it or intending it or doing anything else to try to take charge of it. This is a great exercise in sort of letting go into life, letting go into self, letting go into the wisdom of self, the truth of self, the power of self, the sagehood of self that knows how to create each moment in its own way every second. And finally, this moment, this time, these next moments are very, very, very much about you being you in whatever way that happens in that moment. And so it's your letting go of any preconceived notions, thoughts, and just being the amazing you that you are. All that said, these words hopefully support that experience. Everything in you is perfect and just right and profound and exactly what's called for right here and now. Everything about you needs no evaluation. It just is right here and right now. No matter what's up on the screen of our mind or on the stage of our heart or in the inner sanctum of our core, it's an expression of self and of life and of the divine. And as such, it's just right, even if it looks like something undesirable, even if it looks like something disgusting, even if it looks like something unforgivable. Everything that's up now, in the next moment, later tonight, tomorrow, is grand because it invites you to be in relationship. It invites you to bond with it, to unite with it, to embrace a total oneness with whatever it is. And in that oneness, in that bond, in that relationship, in that connection, it invites a new creation. It invites a fresh moment together. It invites a shifting from the old pattern, old style, into a new one, even if the new one is just in this time and perhaps has no future other than this. Everything in you is you, and as such, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Looked at through the eyes of God, everything about you is created beautiful, perfect, wonder-filled, awesome, and magnificent. Everything, despite all learned judgment, regardless of any preconceived interpretation, everything about you is grand, simply grand, and deserves the very relationship you're giving it in this moment, in this special, special moment. And as you sit with that and let that continue on beyond the time of this particular time together, I'm going to invite us gently to let ourselves come out of this time and to be ever, ever in whatever is your style of relationship with everything. Thank you so much. And it's my privilege to turn this over to Donna right now so that she can express her own precious, precious goodbye to us.
Thanks, Bill. I marvel at how you can bring to us something that is always obvious, but we often miss it in our awareness. And I think the richness of the teleconference each month is that it invites us to bring our awareness to an aspect of life that is there all the time. And in doing it, I love the word expand to the realm of possibilities of how we want to show up. And I just want to conclude by a thought that I got in high school and have never forgotten, and it's from Exupéry's Little Prince, when the little prince makes friends with the little flower that is on his planet. And Exupéry says, "You are responsible forever for that which you have tamed." And the word tamed meaning relationship, love, connection. And I think tonight, I know for myself, I will walk away for tomorrow and for the coming month very much in touch with the realm of possibility that is ours with every breath that we take. So I know on behalf of everybody, Bill, that we thank you. And I wanted to say in closing one other thing. We're going to next month need to change, and I would appreciate if you'd mark this right now. We will remind you again in the April newsletter that we will be having the next teleconference on April 22nd. We usually have it on the fourth Wednesday, and Bill and I are going
Tuesday.
To Tuesday. I'm sorry. Bill and I are going to be gone for a few weeks, and so we need to move it up to April 22nd for next month. And so with that, how about if we all unplug or unstar and come together so we can have a good goodbye from everyone.
Yay, and I've unmuted us all, so you don't need to do anything with your phone.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So I think everybody's there. Am I right?
Yay.
Yep.
Yes. Yay, wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just happy to announce also I have my alarm clock right here. And I'm in a deep, loving relationship with it. And I know you all want to know that. Thank you, everybody. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful
day.
Oh.
Aloha,
everybody.
Aloha.
Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay.
Aloha.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Oh, au revoir. Beautiful. Bye-bye.
Arrivederci.
Sayonara.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Con Dios.
much better for me to sit down and eat dinner there.
Are you reading Eckhart's book?
Are you reading Eckhart Tolle's book?
I read it twice.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. I got the impression that he's not real spiritual.
want to walk last? You go ahead and zip through last. Oh, you know how you do that. You zip through last night. So that the elimination had, but make sure to get right to the table because they're going to go in a minute.
You come out and you spend time and you do enjoy it. But for me, it's a bit like my cooking. I enjoy cooking and I follow the instructions. I do everything, preheat the oven, put it all in. I get a lovely spotted dip, I put it in, out it comes, it flattens flat. And that's a bit like your dancing. I can see you're trying so hard, but tonight it just didn't really work for me. Hey, look, based on that menu, I don't think you should be cutting again. Bruno! Steve, I think all the energy went into the facial expression. So the body died. The technique went down the drain. The footwork was bad. The posture was bad. The timing was off. So, you know, you have to, you know, okay, the performance is telling you good, but the technique is as important. All right. So, you know, balance is good.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you.
I'm really appreciative of that. But I will say, I said the chaos is right, your energy is right, but I think there was just a few little like missteps, and your foot was to be a hair, or just a hair, but it was good.
Well, there was one or two that was in, but I must say the speed is faster than wind from that bottom. It really flew around that floor. Your posture was much better, I've got to agree again. The trouble was it had a bit of a wildness about it. For me, it wasn't the classic quick step that I'd like to see in a ballroom competition. There was far too much gap in between the two of you. It lacked control.
All right, Bruno.
I like the idea of coming back. The dancing gangster, and you captured that character, you drove the choreography. The dance is very, very fast, and sometimes you have to watch your feet, because it's quite difficult. Point your feet on the pendulum, get your footwork right, but the performance is good.
She's having a hard time with this, isn't she?
I feel so uncomfortable with the sessions in your dance school because I never had to do them before.
Go, ooh, with the camera.
Ooh.
Okay. Good. Okay. Don't get too carried away.
I don't want to miss any practice, and someone is coming with me. We've been such a treat. We're in Tokyo. We've been here until midnight.
One, three,
I'm not concerned about being accepted. No, I'm not. But I'm having this so much fun, and this is like a childhood dream complete for me.
Good, Monica. More skirt. Go for it.
I'm going to give it all to the bombers. I really don't want to go home. Very difficult to see each other in the set. But I love it this week. You came out and you attacked.
instrument I used to love watching you play tennis. You had great speed, coordination, were aggressive, and these things are what you've got to bring to the dance floor. So, good job, tried your hardest, but there's just so many technical problems at the moment. The judges have their score. Gary Aninama.
5.
Sam Goodman.
5.
Bruno Tomioli.
5.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, oh, God.
Yeah, not this early in the season.
I'm used to it. Bruno's getting down like Shrek. It's magician Pendula and his partner Kim Johnson. And while the judges with his feet, but not with his footwork.
We do fear that you got monstrous feet.
Nothing's now this today.
I'm used to it. I guess they were surprised by it. That's the size of my foot. It's big.
Quick step. Nothing's now this today. Interesting maintaining posture, which is very, very good.
So I'm thinking, the posture bar is, by any modern method, a torture device.
It's not the other.
This is not the other. What?
They say they're looking for what kind of posture.
Torture me with a posture bar and getting me to get up straight. What is time to sell torture device?
I'm just
checking
to get in there.
Having more fun than any human being could ever have on half of the piece. And Bigfoot is still here. And his partner, Kim Johnson. You remind me of the man!
Watch me!
You do have to look into your footwork.
I think they said last week she was the oldest one. Now, how old was Jane Seymour?
Now, Jane Seymour was 57,
oh,
but
okay.
She's the oldest woman, but there was somebody who was my age, she was 63 at the time,
the
guy, Jerry Springer,
I think.
What was her? She sure has a fabulous body.
Yeah.
Last week, Priscilla delivered star quality with a steaming box truck.
It was just a rush, an absolute adrenaline rush. This week is the mambo. It's very quick. There's no time to think. You just hold and pray your body to the spirit.
Oh my gosh, well he's been, I mean, he has been
being choreographed, and I'd be psyched a lot on some things.
You went for that crawling at the end of the camera. Very nice.
Amazing. No, we were really, really hard this week, and he's a great choreographer. Look at her heels, Nancy. So she's a full foot taller than she is.
Thank you. Kelly Amina.
Nice.
Whoa.
Obviously, very quick. Sometimes you love the football. You can see fast. Fast is good.
Won with her partners the last 2 years. It's amazing. Started out on the show as 18 people. Incredible for you.
And it was cute, and you gave it your best.
All right, glad. Well, I'll tell you what.
just for the minute and a half I'm out there, I'm having a good time. The 5 hours that repeated, suck.
Whatever, come on.
Oh,
he's not too bad to hang out.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.